Matthew 11:28. Come to me, Ness. Anyone. All you who are weary, who are burdened, I will give you rest. Lord, what would you have me do today? Micah 6:8. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So maybe when we wake tomorrow, our thought for the day could change our perspective and our lives for the better. Thank you.
To a church in Ephesus, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And let me just break in and just say, I think that's what Ness was just saying to us, making the most of every opportunity. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you've ever wondered why people go to church and they spend so much time singing all these hymns about things that have been written in the Bible, it's a direct response to this verse that, filled with the Spirit, something in our hearts wants to sing truth back to God. And so we're going to start by obeying that command to sing, and we're going to sing a couple of songs. Holy, holy is the Lord, which means he is set apart. He is a different order of being from us. And then we'll sing Speak, O Lord, which recognizes that if it wasn't for God revealing himself to us, we would have no hope of knowing who he is. So let's all stand and sing Holy, Holy, Lift Up His Name. Thanks, Sheila.
Thank you. One of the very first verses that we encountered when we did this month of different style of Bible studies back in February was 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I'd known that verse for decades, but over these last few months, it's really had a new meaning for me. Those words, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, they're very active, positive words. They could be seen as quite negative, I suppose. We could see as, you know, rebuking as being something negative. But certainly in this context, I know that it is a very positive thing. And I felt very challenged because I realised I felt I had slipped into a state of apathy. Can't remember what words I use now, but there we go. I felt that my faith had become very a very easy, comfy position. That I had perhaps been complacent. And I realised that these words were challenging. These words meant that there had to be development. And I started to think of faith as like a muscle. Muscles have to be exercised. In the Bible, faith is also described like an athlete, or a Christian's life like an athlete. And these are words, teaching, rebuking, training, correcting. These are all words that you'd use for an athlete, someone who is wanting to exercise, wanting to achieve their best. And I believed that that was what God was saying to me, that there's no place in the Christian heart and life for apathy. We're not called to a comfortable life. I realized I was, yeah, I liked the nice, easy options. I liked the anything for a quiet life sort of thing. And I was very challenged by this, and really believed that God was, yeah, God was and has been challenging me. I would love to say at this point that since then, you know, all numerous opportunities, and I've exercised my faith. But perhaps like Ness, I'm a slow learner. I am very much a work in progress, and it is something that I still continue to be challenged on. But I thank God for his grace and his patience with me, and that he continues to point these things out to me. Two things last week, which really, again, just brought me up short. One was during our Alpha meeting last Monday, and one was through the Bible study that we were doing in our life groups, which was James chapter 4. And the very last verse of chapter 4 says, "Anyone who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." And in the Alpha, Nicky Gumbel, who heads up the work of Alpha, he was saying that it's not enough for us to say, but I don't do this and I don't do that, and oh, I'd never do that. It's not all the stuff, the bad stuff that we don't do. It's what are we doing? It's such an active and proactive opportunity that God calls us to. And the other verse was in Hebrews 2, and it says, "Pay careful attention to what we've heard so that we don't drift away." And it's just that sense of how easily we can drift. To drift, we don't have to do anything. And that's when we will drift. We will drift away from the truths and from the challenges that God has. We have just sung that we would live our lives that we would fulfill all God's purposes for his glory. Sorry, not for our glory, for his glory. And I wrote that down just as I was singing it, because I realized, yeah, if you pray for me, please, that is my prayer, that you pray that I will be active. I won't be lazy and looking for the quiet options, but that I will be active and exercising my faith, all for his glory. Thank you.
Sarah, come forward, please. Tell us what God put on your heart.
Yeah, Denisha and I studied Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 to 18 together. It's titled, "Everything is Meaningless." We split it into two, so I'm focusing on verses 1 to 11 that have the repeated idea that life under the sun is meaningless. Examples such as labor, nature, and death, and experiences are said to be nothing new or meaningful. So it comes across as a bit depressing, but I just thought it's interesting to think about, because personally, as a young person, my life is very much focused on education. It always has been. It kind of has to be. But there is the danger of getting into the mind frame that it is, like, you don't know what it's for and you can't see where you're going, and it's not, like, fun. But the idea that I got from this is that despite everything being, you might not see where it's going, God has given the ability to enjoy it. And I've written that we may not recognize the purpose of everything. We are able to find joy by living through God. So that was encouraging me. And the other point I thought about is, under the sun could possibly refer to, like, the human existence of someone who doesn't believe, because their life is, like, focused under the sun, and therefore they cannot find the meaning. But I think as a believer, it's a bit more encouraging, because I kind of took it to understand that I'm under the sun, but I have an understanding that there is, like, an outside of the sun afterwards. And that just gives a bit of hope for the bigger picture and a better mind frame than, like, the depressing that it might come across. Yeah. I just think it turned a dispirited passage into something a bit more hopeful for me, personally.
So I was looking at verses 12 to 18, which are about wisdom and knowledge being dangerous. So the verse, "The more knowledge, the more grief," led me to think about the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden that wasn't meant for us, and we were forbidden to eat from it. Whilst knowledge and wisdom can be useful, ultimately, God is the one who knows everything, and we don't have the capacity to comprehend it. With knowledge of good comes knowledge of evil, and therefore a limit is placed on how much you can empathize without losing hope. Evil knowledge, such as gossiping, would hurt others and doesn't bring wisdom to your relationship with God. Kyra and I are currently doing our GCSEs and A-levels, so another education thing, which is good knowledge that does bring success under the sun. But overall, we need to rely on God to educate us for our purpose of our lives for him.
Thank you, ladies. As a recognition that the gift of life comes from somewhere other than ourselves. And this act of dedication of saying, God, these children came from you and they belong to you, is an important milestone, not just for the child, in fact, the child probably won't remember it at this age, not just for the parents, but for us as a people of God, that the continuity of the revelation of God in the church is going on generation to generation. The New Testament shows us that baptism is for believing adults, and so we as adults, many of us in this church, have submitted to the rite of full immersion baptism. But with children, we allow the parents to dedicate them back, which is the model that we see throughout Scripture, and that's what we're going to move on to shortly. I'm not sure if anyone's gone up to ask the children to come down, but the children are going to take part in this ceremony that we're going to have shortly as well, because I think it's important for them to recognize these moments of progression in the church. But we're going to begin by singing a song, This I Believe, which is a statement of some of the basic beliefs about Christianity. So in a moment, as a congregation, we're going to take a promise to help Nick and Haley to bring up Edith and to help all the parents to bring up their children in the core beliefs of the Christian faith. And so this song is going to act as a bit of a reminder to us about what it is that we say we believe. So please stand and sing with gusto. Ollie is very free to make himself known during this service, so don't worry. If he wants to intervene, he's going to do so. Hey, man. And we give thanks to God, our Father, for the life of Edith and for this family, this beautiful family that God has given us. So I'm going to hand over the microphone straight away and just let you introduce your family, Nick, and you can give it to Hales as
well. Hi. Thank you so much to everyone for coming along. Thank you to Forefront Community Church for having us to do this. And thank you for welcoming us into your family. And thank you again to all our friends and family that are here. It's great to see so many people here. So thank you.
Thanks very much. So the way this works is that the parents make a declaration to offer the new life back to God. There's nothing sinister in that at all. It is an act of recognition that none of us could create a life, but God creates a life. And so we are going to ask Nick and Haley to dedicate Edith to God in response to the teachings of Scripture. What are those teachings? Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, speak of God's work in creating each precious life. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16, describes how Jesus lived out God's love for children in his life. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, any who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Nick.
We acknowledge that all children are a gift and blessing from God. No child is born by chance or accident. Each new life is a unique work of creation by a loving, sovereign God, precious in his sight.
I think she wants to eat it, not speak into it. J. Jeremiah 29:11 describes the perfect plan God has for each child. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope, Edith Hope, and a future. Yet he ensures the parents and the community have a role in that. Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Haley.
As parents, together with the family of God, we have a responsibility to train our children in God's way. Edith does not belong to us, but to God. Children are entrusted to our care for their childhood years so we can help them discover God's unique purpose for their lives and to prepare them to live as responsible adults.
Now we're going to make some declarations. And in order to do this, I want to ask the Rocks and Tops children to come forward as well, if they're around yet. Are they all here? Yes, there they are. Just come around as well, because you need to see this, kids. And you've got something to say in a moment. Any other Rocks and Topses? Yeah, just come along. Okay, are we all there? You'll have something to say in a minute. You are very brave. Well done. Okay. Nick and Haley, do you thank God for the gift of Edith Hope? And do you accept the joys and the duties of parenthood? Thank you. Do you promise to teach Edith the truths of the Christian gospel and to encourage her to seek and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal savior? Her own personal savior. Copy and paste error. Say it again. Do you promise to do that?
We do.
Thank you. This is to us. This is our solemn thing. Nick and Haley have a special responsibility for Edith, and so too do their family, their friends, and this Christian community. The church is also your family, because through the faith in Jesus Christ, which we share with you, we have been welcomed into God's family, so we also have a part to play, to be a family to one another. As Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so, Forefront Community Church family and friends, do you commit yourselves to support, encourage, and help Nick and Haley, and do all we can to be a family to Oliver and to Edith Hope? Thank you. Now, Rocks and Tops, how is Edith going to learn to be a good Christian child? Who's she going to learn that from? From Laura. You are the example she's going to follow. And so I'm going to ask you, do you promise as Rocks and Tops to be good brothers and sisters to your little pebble sister, Edith Hope? We do. Thank you. She's going to be looking up to you for that example in the years to come. So thank you for that. Our loving Heavenly Father, we dedicate Edith Hope Boyland to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to ask, yes, give them a clap. You want to. Dale and Selena and Ewan are going to pray for Edith and for the family.
Ladies first.
Thank you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of Edith, for her safe arrival and for her loving family.
Surround her with your love and grace, and bless her, Nick, Haley, and Oliver as they grow together as a family. May Edith know she is loved and cared for, and that we will always be there for her and pray for her. As she grows up, help us and our whole church family to guide her in her faith. We pray for her happiness and health, and we cannot wait to see her grow and blossom. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
We thank you, God, for Edith and for all the joy she brings. Bless Nick and Haley as they raise her and help us as godparents to support and guide her through life. Amen.
Yeah, Father God, we thank you so much for your great love shown to us in Jesus. And so, Lord, we praise you so much for him, because without Jesus, without the cross, without the good news of the gospel, Lord, we would all be lost. But we thank you today in your grace, in your kindness, you have saved so many of us. And Lord, you have shown us the joy and hope of following Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you've shown that same joy and that same hope and made those same promises for Nick and Haley. And I thank you, Lord, that you have brought them freedom, and Lord, you have brought them light and hope in life. And Lord, as we look to your words, Psalm 78 verse 4 says, "We will not hide these good deeds of God from our children, but we'll tell them to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." And so, Lord, I pray for Nick and Haley that you would equip them to fulfill those words, Lord, for their children, for both Oliver and for Edith. Lord, that they would not hold back from sharing the good news of God with their children, and that every day, Lord, they would be able to point to the glory and wonder of God. And Lord, we thank you so much for their family. Lord, nothing happens by accident in this world, and you have made them a beautiful family together. And so, Father, we pray your blessing on them, your blessing on their household. Lord, we pray your blessing on Edith especially this morning. Lord, we ask that she would come to know and trust the words that we've sung, Lord. Lord, that she would believe in Jesus Christ as her Savior. Lord, she would know the joy of forgiveness, of redemption, of new life, of hope for a future. And Father, we pray as well that, Lord, she would know the Holy Spirit close with her and in her, Lord, that in those times that come in life that are hard, that she would know the joy of Jesus. In those times where there is no peace, Lord, she would know the peace of Jesus. In the times where there is great wonder and hope and fun in family times, Lord, that she would be able to point up and say, "This is all a gift from God." So we pray your blessing on them this morning. We give thanks for them, and we give thanks for all that you were going to do in the life of Edith Hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed. Nick, Haley, Oliver, Edith, you're a beautiful family, and we are privileged to have you in our midst, and we're really grateful to God for this blessing today. This is Amazing Grace, which sounds like a good lead into a song. It is grace. Very good. Super. So we're going to stand up and sing and celebrate this family and their presence in our midst, and thank God for this new life. Please stand up and sing. This is Amazing Grace.
Allowed to use this one? Is that allowed? Can you turn that on for me? Thank you very much. The children are actually going to come and help me, because this is what we were talking about upstairs, and this is why they're a little confused a minute ago, because I forgot to tell them, thank you, that the other bit was happening. So children, can you please come up with your faces and your words, please? So this morning we were looking at a time when some children came to meet Jesus. And actually we've already had the Bible reading in here this morning, so I wonder if any of you will recognise this version. One day, Jesus was out with his friends when some parents brought their young children to see him. Some of the children had met Jesus before, and they knew he was kind and told brilliant stories. They ran up to him, chatting to each other, calling out to Jesus to get his attention, arms open to give him a big hug, when suddenly there was a loud shout. "Hey, what do you think you're doing?" The children stopped in their tracks. Several of Jesus' friends were glaring at them and their parents. "Stop making so much noise," one of them commanded. Another looked at the parents. "Can't you keep control of your children?" Jesus hasn't got time for you, a third one said. Go away, he's far too important and too busy to see you. The things that Jesus' friends said to the children made them feel... Show your sad faces. What's your green words? He's got a green one.
Confused.
Scared.
Sad.
Angry.
Frightened. Frustrated.
Annoyed.
Just as these poor children were about to turn around and run back to their parents, they heard another shout, but this time not directed at them. Stop, Jesus said to his friends. Don't send them away. Bring them here. The children were amazed, but didn't wait to be brought. They ran straight to Jesus, who welcomed them and hugged them and threw them up in the air. He sat them down and told them stories and listened to what they had to say. The way that Jesus treated them made the children feel
joyful, excited, amazed,
proud,
extraordinarily happy,
grateful.
Later on, Jesus told his friends, "Don't forget how I work. Most people think it's good to be important, the richest or the cleverest or the most powerful, but those aren't the things that matter. What I want is for people to realise that I love them. Those children didn't need to pass a test to prove they were clever or bring me lots of money or even dress up in fancy clothes and be on their best behaviour before they came to see me. I love them just as they are, and they know that. No matter how old you get, no matter how grown up you are, don't be so grown up that you lose your child's heart. Be just like these children. They are the most important ones in my kingdom." Thank you very much, children, for helping me tell the story. One more thing. Sorry. I just want to finish it with, we all know that Edith was loved from the very second that she was born. Babies can't do anything. They have to rely on the people around them to look after them. But Edith was loved. Because she's Hayley and Nick's daughter, they love her. She doesn't have to do anything. And I think often we get like Jesus' friends and we think we have to be something different or we have to be more than what we are. But God loves us just as we are and he loves it when we remember that.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, children. That was a marvellous way to finish. The way that Jesus welcomed the little children is the way that he welcomes those who are older. And the way that the children responded to Jesus is the way that Jesus tells us to respond to him as well. Just before we finish, a word from our sponsors. Christine, got some notices for us?